This is Notes from a Native Daughter. I am Sol Danela. This is episode 9, and my guest is Harry Nadal, and this is a Spanglish podcast. Así que Harry Nadal is an artist, a designer, a reader, a seer, a noble soul, puertorriqueño, residente in New York City for 29 years. And he is of the theater and the make-believe realm. And he's my friend, and I'm super happy that we're going to have this conversation.
Me too.
Yeah?
Yes.
Woo-hoo! So how did you start in this world of make-believe?
I think I started all my life since I was a little boy in Puerto Rico. I always liked the visual arts. So I started drawing from an early age, and then I fell in love with the theater when I was a little boy, not as an actor, but, you know, as an audience member. And then I always wondered, you know, how do you mix visual arts and the theater? And voila, costume, set design. So that was a whole new world for me, and I went into it. And up until today, it's been my profession. It's, you know.
But did you have, like, coloring books or journals when you were growing up?
I had everything. I did cutouts. I remember building from a shoebox, like a proscenium, mm-hmm. and putting a backdrop and mm-hmm. cutouts. So it's always been, I think, the profession chooses you.
Really?
You know? Yeah. When it was time to decide, it was like a no-brainer for me. All my friends were like, what should I do? And I was like, well, I think I know where I'm going to go.
And did you, like, make dresses for Barbies?
No, I didn't. I did not, but I did other things similar, like cutouts of, you know, figures and costumes and stuff like that. So indirectly, I would say, they're not Barbie, no.
And did you ever help your friends out with, like, prom dresses and stuff?
No. Well, I was always a creative one in school. So I remember working in the school productions, and that also gave me an idea. Also, I had my mother is a choreographer, so she was in the business. And my cousin.
So talk to me about your mother. I love this story because, okay, I was a dancer for many years, and Harry's mother is a very important dancer in Puerto Rico, and I think it's awesome. So go ahead.
Rosita Palmer, my mother, she's still active in Puerto Rico. I grew up in the business, she was always working. And once I grew up and she noticed that I had the eye and the talent, I would indirectly start working with her, like designing stuff for her. So it was part of my DNA. It was something that I just developed my skills as I went along. My cousin Raul Julia was in the theater in New York. So every time we had a chance to come and check him out in a play or whatever. So that shaped me, not being aware that that was going to be my life.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But yeah, she was influential. Of course she was.
And what is her background as a dancer?
She started in ballet, mm-hmm. and then she went into jazz and made a career as a jazz choreographer and opened her school. And ended up being choreographer for many people in Puerto Rico. So
yeah.
that was my upbringing, really, you know, in TV studios and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what was your father's name? Your father?
Harry Nadal Sr. He passed, but he was a lawyer, so that's out of the, no, I didn't go into law.
You didn't go into law. You stayed in show business.
Yeah, but he was fine with it. He struggled already because none of his three kids ended up in law. And he wanted us to be, you know, it's normal for a father to have, you know, to pass on. But,
sure.
But
a dependable job.
You know, yeah.
Yeah.
But knock on wood.
It's all good.
Yeah.
Hashtag no judgment.
No judgment. And he was fine. Very supportive.
By the way, that's a borrowed.
What is?
You know, hashtag no judgment is. Well, I first heard it from my friend Miguel Ferrer. He was so funny. He sent this text and he was like, hashtag no judgment. I'm like, yeah, man, that's true. I like that.
Yeah.
I've adopted it. Okay, so you grew up with a mother that is a dancer. That is so cool.
Yeah.
So did you hang out with a lot of dancers?
Dancers and singers from your dad's generation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like she was a choreographer for Nidia Caro.
Right, I remember. She was the hot thing.
Yeah, and I remember meeting Danny before I worked with him in the Red Rose when I was like a teenager.
Right.
In Puerto Rico through her. At one of these events, and of course, one starstruck. And then years later, but of course, he didn't remember because I was.
You had to remind him.
Yeah, of course.
That's so cool.
So, you know, it was nice to cross paths with him later. But yeah, so I grew up, and then I decided to come to New York, and here I am.
Was that like a dream? It was for me when I was a kid to come and live in New York.
Me too. But I've been coming when I was a child throughout. But to live in New York, it was a dream, and it happened when I got accepted at NYU. I submitted my portfolio, and then I took the leap. You know, I told my family, "This is what's happening. I'm taking student loans. I'm making it happen." And it was a dream. But the interesting part was living in New York. As opposed to visiting, it was so different. I guess it happened to you too.
Sure.
You know, I don't know. If you come here for a week as a tourist, it's very different. And hard, but you learn along the way.
Yeah, yeah. No, there were definite adjustments to, you know, my coming to live full time in the States.
Mm-hmm.
I came alone. So that was an interesting start, I suppose. But all in all, I really kind of felt at home here, which was really kind of strange.
Me too. And also, that's 29 years ago, but then I started meeting other Puerto Ricans in the city, not only in my field, but I'm talking in film. In plastic arts, in dance, in music, of my generation. And it was like all of a sudden you started connecting with these other people that you didn't know about that are on the same path as you. And it was great to establish a new network of people in New York, new Puerto Ricans that till today are very good friends. Some of them are very good friends of mine. And they're doing great things. So it was exciting. And it still is at our age. We're still...
You're still young. I mean, you know, we're no spring chickens here, pero estamos bien. We look good.
I keep saying at our age.
No, you gotta be realistic, I suppose. Yeah. But no, I mean, it doesn't mean anything. It just means what it is.
It's a number.
So you came to Tisch, and what kind of stuff did you do when you were here? Did you... develop plays? Did you make costumes?
Well, I went into the design department, but now I hear it's more diverse ethnically. When I went there in 1987, I was pretty much the only Latino that I can remember from my generation, which is, you know, it was mostly American. And I think it was very hard back then, not now, because I hear now, I've seen it, it's more diverse. Being part of that group, adapting to that was very hard. But yeah, they took me through the whole experience of a young designer. And I, you know, you get a chance to really know the field. They connect you with professionals that are working and all that. And in 4 or 3 years, I pretty much had a good, you know, a good backbone to start as a designer. I just wish there were more people of, I don't want to say people of color, but, you know, diversity at the time I went.
Don't you want to say people of color? Non-white.
Non-white. I think that is correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess I would have felt more like I belonged back then, faster. It took me a while. I remember when the the first Latino after me came to the school, he was like, ah, at this point, you know, we became very friends.
Right.
Good friends very fast. And, but it was great. I mean, it was a great experience. And then, you know, the rest, you go out in life and keep growing and learning.
And what kind of things have you done?
After that, I've been working everywhere. I think that's the life of a designer. It's like an actor's life, or, you know, in the arts.
But everywhere, you mean in the medium or in different places, like New York or Puerto Rico or wherever?
I've been working in New York. In Puerto Rico, I've worked and I have produced. Yes, which is nice. It's a whole different ball game.
And you've worked with some really cool people.
I had a chance early on to assist Bob Crowley in the Caveman, in that Paul Simon show.
Yeah.
That was Puerto Rico themed. And that was a nice introduction to the world of Broadway and the big musical. And working with Latinos in that capacity, it was a school for me. You learn a lot. You learn about the other side, what you don't learn in school. You know, in school they prepare you in terms of the theory of design and all that, but the real work, that's I learned it in the street. You know, the other part of the business. And that was a good starting point. Then I've worked with many companies, American companies, Latino companies in New York. What else? Puerto Rico, I go every once in a while to work. I've been there twice in the last 10 years as producer.
Tell us about that.
It's great. It's going back to the island that raised you, really. And reconnecting with fellow artists that, for some reason, because one lives here, are not aware of you.
Mm-hmm.
So going back there to reconnect with them is, you know, it's very revitalizing to me. I produced in 2003 Chicago with two friends, and 6 years ago, Headwood, the show. With a friend, with two other friends. It's always friends, collaborations. And I don't know, I feel like every time I go there, I feel, in terms of work, I feel like I'm home. You know, it's like, you know, you understand your people. I don't know if you know, when you go there.
Well, yeah, I mean, it depends on who I'm working with. In the recent years, I've been mostly working with my father.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in many ways, you know, working with my father is very organic and,
right,
and easy. Like, he and I really understand each other. And, you know, sure, sometimes, you know, like, we get a little heated, but it's never, like, malicious. Or mm-hmm. it's more that it's just the nature of the game. And, but yeah, you know, when I work with Paloma, you know, that feels like home.
Right.
You know, and Vivian Rivera, I really like working with her as a publicist. I think she's like one of the best people down there. I really like her. And yeah, I mean, I think you create, or I've been able to create teams in, you know, in different places. That's kind of how it works.
Right.
But, sí, no, Puerto Rico tiene, you know, su punto porque... Casa.
For me, it is. And it's...
I can go have a coffee at Casa Alta. Like, dale, I'll see you at 1.
That's what I mean. And it's, I wish so I could cool. Do it more often.
I
know?
Love that. I love that. Dale, te veo ya mismo.
So every time I have a chance to...
¿De dónde tú crees? Where did you think ese dale salió?
Dale.
Sí, cuando la gente...
eso es nuevo.
Ese es medio nuevo, ¿verdad? That's como it, que dale, pues gonna, dale, sí, dale. I love dale.
I've been hearing it lately.
Dale.
Now I know what it is. Before I was like, wow, that's new. But yeah. No, it's the newer generation is saying it more.
Yeah.
So I miss that. That's why when I go to Puerto Rico, I wish I could do it more often. You know, it's one of those, I don't know, it's another feel.
He's being very humble because he's worked in Puerto Rico. His friends, you can say who they are. They're like very, I mean, they're amazing. They're like great actresses and great dancers and, you know, like important performers and go ahead.
But isn't that the nature of our job? I mean, we work with all these people that become friends and acquaintances. So, you know, you build a network.
Yeah, sure. But still, I mean, you know, they should get credit, I think.
Yeah. No, I mean, I don't complain. I have a lot of people who have inspired me and who I call friends to this day.
Mm-hmm.
Great artists. That, you know, that are priceless to me, and I learn from them, and I keep learning from them, and hopefully, it's funny, some of them have become good friends, and we don't have the opportunity to work together
mm-hmm.
as much as we would like to,
mm-hmm.
so we always have that in the future, because, you know, it's like that. Life takes you down different paths. And there's no best feeling that when you end up working with a good friend, a collaborator that you admire, that life, you know, puts you together in a project. That's very rare. And I have a lot of those that I really love, people that I, you know.
I do too. I'm really lucky like that. It's true.
Yeah.
Bita, I want to go back to this thing about your mother and mm-hmm. the fact that she's a dancer. So how many siblings do you have?
Two or three.
You're three?
Yeah.
Female?
I am my sister and my brother. I'm the oldest one. So two men.
And are they dancers?
None of them are in the arts. Only me.
Only you.
Yeah. Only me.
Really?
Yeah.
Are they artistically appreciative?
Yeah, I mean, but not in the arts at all. One of them is a teacher, the other one is into real estate, so I'm the only one.
Well, being a teacher is kind of an artist.
Yeah, I mean, she's great. They are appreciative, but they never went into it as a profession.
Mm-hmm.
I was the cuckoo in the nest, I guess. You know, it was like, oops. He's
you came ordained by the higher gods to look after cloth and textile.
Textile and sets and all that.
You like to create environments.
Yeah, I guess that's it. I've always been very visual. You take it for granted, we designers, that we have an eye for things. But then again, I guess that's what our job is. You know, you take it for granted. We have a sense of color and composition that I guess not everybody has, but it's a part of, it's how we view the world. Mm. And now we use it to tell stories, which is my job, really, to tell a story through visual language.
Mm-hmm.
But I've always had it, you know, it's part of our DNA. So...
To tell stories.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, some people do it through writing.
Mm-hmm.
I do it through visuals. And that's why I think we are as valid storytellers as the director, the writer, you know, because our contribution is priceless, I think.
In what sense?
In that sense, that we are informing the audience,
mm-hmm.
the you know, the público, we're helping them along the way to follow a story, and we also manipulate it, you know, how we want them to perceive it. I think that rests on our shoulders, so it's a big job. It's a big responsibility.
Yeah. I understand.
So,
folks out there in the world, Harry and I are in my do-it-yourself closet, soundproof cave, and I am sweating, and you should see me. It's really funny. So I think we're going to take a pause and step outside.
No, but I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying it.
Me too. It's like a sauna. I think Latinos are making a lot of stride.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We are.
I think we've done a lot.
And we're doing.
And we're doing a lot. Mm-hmm. And I think we are finding, we're finding a voice. I have a lot of faith in it. And I know it's just, it's like fragmented, but I see it headed in a good direction.
Oh, in a very good direction. In the last 29 years that I have been here, I have seen the impact of Latinos growing, especially in the arts, more and more. So I have seen that progression. Oh, there it is. Okay. That's a microphone? Okay. So I have seen that progression in the last 29 years of Latinos in general, but in the arts. And I'm very, very hopeful and that one can contribute to that, even in a small degree, you know. As a Puerto Rican designer, I was just telling you earlier, there's not that many of us. And the fact that 29 years, one is still doing it and collaborating with significant people that are not Latinos, but are looking at you and respecting you as an artist, I think that's, it speaks miles of us as a culture.
I think so.
Yeah.
And why do you keep doing what you do?
Because it's the only thing I know how to do, and it's the talent that God gave me, and it's what I was brought into this world to do. I mean, well, first of all, because you like it as an artist. It's your craft. And you have the blessing of making a living of your craft, which is very rare these days, and it's becoming even more rare. So every day, you know...
In the creative economy, you mean?
Exactly. I count my blessings. So I'm aware that not a lot of people can say what I can say, that, you know, you can make a good living out of
costume
set designing, whatever you want to call it, because I do both sometimes. Design in general, you know, in a field that is not Latino dominated at all. There are a handful of Latinos now that I can count, that I know of. And, you know, being part of that movement that's hopefully going to grow, there's going to be more of us eventually, I think, with the new generations. So that's why I continue to do what I do. Also, to, you know, I don't want to say I want to leave a legacy, but for the ones to follow, you know, that they have something to... Look me up and, you know, hopefully I'll be there in a footnote or something for future Puerto Rican designers. But that happens in every field, I'm sure.
Perhaps.
Yeah. At least that's how I see it.
So now you're going to go to Spain.
I'm going to Spain for a month. And then I come back to start Racing in the Sun in Arena Stage. So I have the rest of the year...
In Washington, D.C.
In Washington, D.C. So, but Spain is a month off.
And what are you planning to do?
Hopefully I have a few friends in the field, in the arts there, that I'm meeting. Get to know the community. Because you never know professionally. You know, you make connections. I'm just going to rest, enjoy the country, see friends, go to the theater, meet other artists there, which I use do every year, and take some time off. And hopefully come back, you know, rested and
Vitaminized.
No, and inspired.
Sure.
Yeah. Which is
to create a Racing in the Sun.
Well, that's next.
That's
It's a great play. It's a great play. Anita Arena, which is like one of the top five regional theaters in the state. So I'm very, as a Puerto Rican, I'm very happy.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. It's an honor.
It is. For me, it is. So, on to the sangria now and the tapas for 1 month.
All right. Well, thank you for talking to me.
Thank you, and I love you.
Me too.
Thank you for listening to No Terminative Daughter. You can find me on SoundCloud, iTunes, or Stitcher.